This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come here and fellowship together. Father, I pray that you come and speak to us, and that the simple truths of your word, Lord, will bring victory, will bring freedom to us, and will draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a passage that you're all very familiar with. Luke chapter 22, from verse 39 to 46. I'll read it. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus and his disciples were about to face a very difficult time. And a very, very difficult time. A time of trial, a time of anguish, a time of sorrow. The Bible says there that they were filled with sorrows. Jesus was about to be arrested, put to death. There was emotional pain, physical pain. It was an hour of trial that was about to come upon them. And in this passage, there's basically one lesson there. It's how do you confront a time of difficulty? How can you be ready for a time of trial? How can you be ready for a difficult hour? And it's very simple. You pray. And Jesus Christ here, the Son of God, who was fully God, but was not using his privileges as God, because he made himself a human being like us. He had to survive and to thrive and to succeed in a difficult time by the same means that you and I would survive if we were facing a difficult time. So what do we learn from here? Number one, Jesus says that pray that you will not fall into temptation. You and I we're living in a time that is filled with evil, filled with all sorts of pits, full of all sorts of things in which people can fall, full of sin, full of worldliness. How do you confront that? And Jesus says that, woe to the earth it says in Revelation, woe to earth, because the devil has come down to you, knowing that his time is short. We're living in the last days, and the devil is coming, trying to get as many people as he can, and trying to get as many believers to backslide and fall. And he's bringing all sorts of things from hell. He's trying false doctrines, he's trying sin, he's trying all sorts of things. It's a terrible hour that we live in. And besides that, there might be you may be going through a difficult time yourself. You may be going through personal trials, personal issues, financial difficulties, emotional difficulties, relationship issues with your spouse or fiancé or whatever you may have, children, parents, family members. How do you confront a difficult time in your life? Jesus says, you pray that you will not fall into temptation. Those who don't pray will fall into temptation. Now, I know that we've thought here about holiness, that it is by faith, and I believe that it is by faith that we walk holy. Sanctification is by faith. However, you cannot escape the fact that Jesus says, you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. When difficulties come, when trials come, you will fall into temptation if you don't pray. There's an article that I've been looking at on my phone talking about how suicides have now surpassed car accidents in the U.S. as a cause of death. It's become the number one cause of death. Above car accidents, and in particular among middle-aged population. And they were trying to figure out, but why is that? They say, well, maybe because there is financial difficulties, people have lost their jobs and whatever, and they can't live and so on. But I'll tell you the simple answer is that the devil has come down in a fury, wanting to destroy our society. And it's happening even to believers, to churchgoers. And how do you confront an hour like that? How do you face it? Jesus says, pray that you will not fall into temptation. The funny thing is that you say, well, no, I'm strong. I will never fall into that temptation. Understand that a few verses before that, that's exactly what Peter said to Jesus. When Jesus told him, you will fall. He said, no, I will not. I am ready to go to death with you. It doesn't work like that. It's not by your resolution that you're kept from temptation. You pray that you will not fall into temptations. Those who neglect prayer have made themselves vulnerable to falling. And there's one thing that I want to say here, and it's not just, here's the problem. Everybody prays when time becomes tough, right? But that's not what this is talking about. It says here, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, as usual. It was not like, oh my, I'm going to die tomorrow. Now I need to pray. He had built prayer into his lifestyle. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had the Bible say it was usual for him to go to that mountain and to pray. Therefore, on the day when trials came, on the day when a difficult situation came, he was able to handle it. Those who never pray when times are good, those who never fast when time are good, and they wait for a crisis to happen, find that they are unprepared for a time of crisis. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. And I want to say that Jesus, in teaching us the prayer, Our Father, which seems like it's a prayer that you're supposed to pray daily, because he said, give us today our daily bread. He also says, do not lead us into temptation. You were supposed to pray that you will not fall into temptation. And as I was saying, we believe sanctification is by faith. But a person who never prays proves that they do not have faith. Because prayerlessness is a sign that the person doesn't really believe that God answers prayers. They don't have faith. But it's also a mark. Faith is also dependence. A person who doesn't pray shows that they do not depend on God. they trust their own strength. They trust their own strength. They think they're capable of going to work, doing their job. They're capable of feeding themselves. They're capable of keeping themselves healthy. They're capable of keeping their family together. They're capable of keeping their peace in their inner peace. They believe they're capable of not of living holy and satisfying God on their own strength, which is ridiculous. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not feel so. He prayed and he depended on the Father. It's ridiculous that you and I would think that we can do without that. And so the Bible says he went to that mountain. And then the other thing that he did is that he withdrew from the disciples. He withdrew. Now, I've heard numerous number of people. They say, oh, yeah, I pray on my way to class. I pray on the bus. I pray while I'm walking to my class and so on. Jesus withdrew. Jesus said that when you pray to your Father in heaven, go to your room and lock the door. Yes, there is prayer you can do while you're walking around, but it is not a substitute from withdrawing. Jesus felt, and it's not in scripture at random, it's not because he was just trying to, he needed to separate himself from his disciples and have time alone to pray. And you and I need the same. If you're one of those people who only pray while you're walking to class or to your job or going to the bus, you will be unprepared for the day of temptation. You'll be unprepared for the day of trial. You need to withdraw. You need time alone with God. How would you imagine a husband and a wife who only spend time in public and they never withdraw to be alone? It'll be strange. Even for those that have children, they need to withdraw from their own children. And in the same way, you need to withdraw from everything else to spend some time with God. Now, I don't know how long Jesus prayed here, but he withdrew and he prayed. Now, everything I've tried to say right now is, I'm talking about the necessity of prayer. I'm trying to give you the motivation, the reason that Jesus gives here. One of the reasons being, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Have you been falling into temptation lately? Have you been falling into temptation in your thoughts, in your mind? I would ask you, have you been praying? Have you been spending time with God? It is important. The Bible says that Jesus actually prayed with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And that death, we know, is not, he was not praying that he be saved from dying on the cross. Because the Bible says there that he was heard. So if God heard him and he could not have died on the cross at the same time. What he was saying was that, Lord, Father, save me from the death that comes from sin. Save me from the death that comes from sin. Save me, don't let me fall into temptation. So he prayed there as a matter of survival. Now, that's just the motivation. This is the reason why you should pray. Don't neglect it. Be sure, don't say that you're too busy to pray. Are you too busy to stay alive? Are you too busy to stay alive? Are you too busy to... If you heard somebody say that, yeah, I'm too busy. I'm not going to care whether a car is going to run me over in the next 5 minutes. I have other more important things to do. It's ridiculous. If you don't pray, you fall into temptation, and sin will bring death into your life. And these are important things, and we each choose to take it as seriously as we want. And I hope we here take it very, very seriously. Now, beside why we should pray, I want to talk about some other things here, because this is very, I find this passage very, very practical and useful. The Bible says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Why did an angel come and strengthen him in verse 47? He was praying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Before that, I want to say one thing. With what attitude was he praying? With what attitude was he praying? It was with both an honesty. Lord, this is what I want. He was not making games. There is no religious language here. He was not joking. It was not a routine. This was someone who was in need. This was someone in a very dark, difficult hour that he was praying. Don't go to God to pray about random things that you don't really care about. Don't go to God and spend time. There are things that you, then you say, well, I don't know what to pray about. Yes, you do. You have problems. Show me a person who doesn't have problems. Maybe that person does not need to pray. You have issues. You have problems. There are things in your heart. You have doubts. You have fears. You have temptations. You have anger. You have bitterness. You have people you have not forgiven. There are people you don't like very much. There are people you don't love. You need God to help you. You need to pray. You need inner healing. People have hurt you. People have done things to you. People have disappointed you. People have been mean to you. They've stood in the way of things you needed to do. They've ridiculed you. They've mocked you. You need to pray. You have weaknesses. You have character traits. Some of your own doing. Some as a result of your upbringing, as a result of your environment. You need to be freed from those. You have a goal. You have things to do. You have to find out what does God want you to do with your life. You need direction. You have confusions. You need clarity. You need to pray. There are lots of things. You need money. You need to live. Go to God and pray for that. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And like I said before, it is those who have made it the habit who, at a time of major crisis, find themselves able to overcome during that time. You don't wait for financial trouble to come and then you pray for God to provide for you. How will you learn that? Will you learn that overnight if you have not learned to pray and ask God for things during the times when you were in less of a crisis? So Jesus prayed he said to God what he wanted, what he needed. At the same time, he prayed with an attitude of submission. And this is an interesting thing. It is one thing about prayer that almost sounds contradictory. You have to go to God saying, God, this is what I need. You must give it to me. You have to give it to me. But at the same time, it must be in such a way that that thing that you're asking never becomes bigger than God and never becomes bigger than the will of God for you, such that even if God's answer to you is no, you will accept that and you will take it. But one thing you will have an answer. So Jesus prayed with assurance that he was being heard. He prayed with assurance that he was being heard. Yet, at the same time, he prayed with an attitude of, Father, even if you don't give this to me, I'm still committed to your will. Ultimately, that's what I want. And we ought to have two things. There are some people who say, God, give me this thing no matter what. I don't care. Give it to me. And sometimes God gives people those things and it destroys them. Don't be in that kind of situation. But the Bible says here, so an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. Why? Because prayer is not easy. This is another thing that the Bible says here. Prayer is not easy. If you've been wondering why is it that you don't pray as much, the answer is here. It's because it's not easy. Jesus never said that it would be. He needed to be strengthened, especially at the time when you're under pressure, at the time of trial, at a time at a time of difficulty. You may not have the strength to pray, and you may need to ask God for the strength to pray. An angel came, strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. What do you do? And if there's anything that I'm saying tonight that I want you to remember today, is this. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. At the time when he was in anguish, at a time when his anguish was deepest, he didn't sit in a corner and wallow in self-pity. He prayed more earnestly. At a time when you're in the deepest trial, at the time when the pain is the most, at the time when you are under the heaviest pressure, at the time when the hour is darkest, at that time, pray more earnestly. Increase your praying during that time. Don't say, I don't have the strength, I'm too overwhelmed. At that time is the time when you need to pray even more earnestly. And the Bible says he prayed so hard, his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. There's actually a medical term for this. I don't remember what it is. Where a person is under so much physical strain that he actually begins to sweat blood. And Jesus, this is how hard Jesus prayed. Now, you think you have ever been in a difficult situation? You think you have ever been in a difficult situation? Jesus must have been in very, very, very severe pressure. Now, I'm not going to go into what exactly he was praying here. That's not my topic for today. But I've said it here before. He was facing the fact that for the first time, he will be separated from his Father. And this dark hour, when God would abandon him completely in order to take your sins and mine, that was an hour that he dreaded, to be separated from his Father in heaven. And an angel came and strengthened him and enabled him to pray, to pray more. Until his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And he must have prayed some more. With that renewed strength that he got. If you want to pray, even in your darkest hour, God will give you the strength if you want to. Because that is the time when you need to pray the most. Unfortunately, this is not what happens to most people when they have problems. They begin to say, well, I'm so under pressure. I was having all these problems. I lost this and I lost that, and this thing didn't work out, and this thing didn't work out. And so I fell in sin. This passage is telling us that at that time, that's the time to go and ask God for strength and pray more than you've ever prayed, because you need God more than you ever need, more than you need him in the time when things are going right. And so the Bible says when he rose from prayer, went back to the disciple, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Have you ever tried to go pray and next thing you realize is that you were sleeping? Has that ever happened to you? Whatever happened to you, you went and said, tonight I'm going to pray. And you went there and you knelt down. The next thing you knew, you had been sleeping and drooling, and you even had some dreams. If that happened to you, you're not the first person to be. It happened to the disciples. Jesus told, it wasn't even unclear. Jesus told them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. So it's not even like a random person who decides, okay, I'm going to pray now. This is Jesus Christ telling them, you guys pray now that you will not fall into temptation. And they must have heard it and say, okay, sure, guys, come on, let's pray. And there were several of them. And they fell asleep. The next thing that Jesus comes and sees all of them there asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Now, what does Jesus do? Does he say to them, okay, guys, I understand. You guys had a heavy Passover meal. You're tired. I know that I told you I'm going to be separated from you, and all this is very sad. So I understand that you guys are falling asleep. It shows no understanding at all. He said, why are you sleeping? Now, was it because he didn't understand that they were exhausted from sorrow? Is it because he didn't understand that it was late at night, that they had just eaten a big meal and that they were sorry? No, he understood that. He repeated the same thing. Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. And in another account of this story, the Bible says he actually told them that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit wants to pray, but your flesh fights against prayer. But Jesus did not accept that as an excuse. Yes, prayer is hard, but you must do it because your survival depends on it. Now, they did not pray, obviously. And what happened to them? They fell into temptation. Peter denied him. He first responded in the flesh. He tried to cut somebody's ear. That didn't get him anywhere. And after that, they all scattered, ran out, hid. None of them fared well in this whole episode that unfolded. Jesus made it well. He rose from prayer, the Bible says. From prayer, after having prayed, he was at a different spiritual level than he was before he prayed. Someone says that he went into this garden willing to die, and he came out of it. He went to the garden to pray, willing to die. He came out of that prayer time ready to die. That's what prayer did for him. After that time of fighting and of anguish and everything, he came out of it and he was ready. And when they came to arrest him and he went on the cross, he did not come down from the cross. He did not turn back. He did not give up his mission. He completed it. He took the sins of the world. He did not sin throughout that whole process. Submitted to the folks who arrested him. He has submitted to his accusers, to those who nailed him to the cross, and he obeyed the Father unto death. And you and I today are saved because of that. Jesus demonstrates in this passage how a Christian deals with a hard time, how a Christian deals with temptation, how a Christian deals with their dark hour. It is by prayer. Let's make praying part of your life. Make real praying part of your daily life. Turn to God. Learn to turn to Him in prayer. And you will be strong. You'll be able to withstand on the day of temptation. Amen.